DW Africa Link.
Today's podcast will explore why colonial relics like roads named after colonial masters and their agents haven't been renamed. For instance, in Zimbabwe, there is a road named after Cecil Rhodes, who was in charge of Zimbabwe, then Rhodesia, until independence in 1980, when the country was renamed Zimbabwe. But the road named after him hasn't been renamed. In Uganda, there is Peak Road, a colonial agent. Although some people believe that the names are a part of history that shouldn't be erased and that these memorial representations are appropriate, others argue that given the impact of colonialism, the names only serve to glorify these systems. So, what do you think? Stay tuned. My name is Josie Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Uganda, like many African countries, bristle with streets and roads named after figures associated with Britain's colonization of the country. Running through the center of the city and past Kampala's impressive independence monument is Peak Road, named after British explorer and officer John Hannings Peake, the first European to identify the source of the Nile. Then other streets named after colonial administrators such as Henry Johnston, Henry Edward Colville, and Frederick Lugard, plus those dedicated to the British royal family, ranging from Anne and Charles to Queen Elizabeth II and her husband. With barely a month to Uganda's 62nd independence anniversary, historians have asked courts to issue orders to Kampala Capital City Authority to immediately remove from all roads and streets within the capital city the names of colonial administrators. So how significant is the renaming of colonial roads in reclaiming national identity and decolonizing public spaces? A professor of history, currently the Dean, Faculty of Arts, College of Humanities and Legal Studies, University of Cape Coast, Ghana, Professor Kwame Osei Kwarteng, is joining us, as well as our own DW correspondent in Kampala, Frank Yiga. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us, and welcome to Africa Link. Now, Professor Kwame, let me start with you. We are talking about changing the colonial road names in Africa. First of all, what were the original purposes of naming roads after colonial figures?
Well, thank you very much. And may I take this opportunity to also greet all your cherished listeners world over. I must start by saying that there were no streets in African kingdoms as we have them today. So definitely the rulers of Africa in the various empires and kingdoms and states that emerged did not have that culture of naming streets after rulers or after prominent citizens. Naming streets or monuments after prominent citizens or rulers is a colonial relic. I mean, it was the colonial authorities after colonizing Africa decided to introduce that into Africa after they started constructing roads, especially so after the Industrial Revolution had led to the introduction of automobile cars in Africa, and then they need a roads for them to construct roads and then railway, hence naming these streets after colonial historical figures. But then when these people also came to Africa, like in the case of space, when he discovered the source of the Nile, he claimed that he was the first person to have discovered it and made it known to the whole world. So they named it after him because they saw it as an achievement. He was an explorer. Mm-hmm. So these are some of the things that inform the naming of colonial relics like roads and other important monuments after colonial authorities, because it was part of the European culture.
But with the way you're saying, Professor, you're making it look like if Africa had not been colonized, probably there wouldn't be roads. Then how would people know how to get to Professor Kwarteng's house? You know, like I just don't understand how then did Africans think this would be possible?
Definitely, you know that Ethiopia was not colonized, yet all these things are found there. If you go to Ethiopia, you see roads named after people. Ideas diffuse, and we borrow from one another. So definitely, if we had not been colonized, because of the interaction that we had with other people, like the Chinese, like the Arabs, and like the Jews, and then also the Europeans, we would definitely have borrowed an aspect of their culture as part of the acculturation process. So we would have gotten there. From the beginning, we didn't have that practice. And if you look at the way our houses were constructed, I'm very much familiar with my country, Ghana. If you go to the typical villages, for security reasons, the houses were not separated from one another. There were not even spaces between the houses. The family members will construct their house, and the houses were linked to one another. Do you get me? Until the Europeans came. When Ghana, for example, was colonized, the colonial authorities saw that no, that was one of the reasons why diseases became endemic in Africa, were spreading quickly, because the people were crowded. The buildings looked shanty, like shanty towns. So now they decided to properly construct roads and leave spaces in between houses. So we must say that that aspect came from Europeans. And then Arabs also in some part of Africa, where especially in East Africa, where the Arabs also colonized them before the European colonization, we saw a situation where they also brought their culture to impact on the Africans. So definitely, if you come to the coastal strips, definitely, especially Mombasa, Zanzibar, and Dar es Salaam, I mean, those areas, you have the streets there, which reflected the Islamic culture.
Okay. Now, Frank Yiga, you are in Kampala, Uganda, where this discussion is not the first time, actually, that historians have tried to push for renaming of colonial roads in Uganda. But recently, as the country is about to celebrate 62nd Independence Day, the discussion has started again. How have Ugandans and other, Ugandans responded to these renaming efforts? Has there been significant public debate or opposition?
There hasn't been really public debate as such, but allow me to take you a little back. When professors say that the system that was introduced by these colonialists, we had road networks because people traveled. Although we didn't have cars or automobiles, but still there were roads leading to places. For example, when Speke came to Uganda, he said he discovered Lake Victoria, yet it existed. It had the name Nalubale. That was the original name of Lake Victoria. River Nile was also
Okay,
rehoused.
the natural resources, who named them?
The natives that lived in Uganda before the coming in of the colonialists, we had the system in place. Then there were roads, but maybe their additions were to improve the infrastructure and all that. Maybe that's when they came up to give names like Speke Road, Victoria, and all those names. But that doesn't mean that we didn't have a system back. But going back to your question, the debate in Kampala, well, it's not so much heated, but of course, it didn't start now. It started in 2020 when there was a campaign that was started. It was an online petition urging the government to remove the names of British colonialists from the streets and monuments and landmarks. Of course, it starts small, then it builds eventually. Now, it woke up people, that's when they realized indeed these streets need to be named after our local heroes and people who have contributed significantly to the country, other than having these foreign names that have overstayed on the streets.
Now, Professor Frank just touched on something there that in Uganda there are actually some like tourist attractions or some should we call them what villages, right, that have names already. I don't know if you want to add something on that, but I also want to know from you how significant is really the renaming of colonial roads in reclaiming national identity and decolonizing public spaces.
I said in specifically in relation to roads. Roads, everybody knows that roads as we have them today were introduced by the colonial authorities. There were paths before the European arrival. There were paths. There were communication between states, interstate and even intrastate communication, but they were paths. They weren't roads. And they passed through thick forests and what have you. And so they did not have names for them. All that they will say is that they rode from this town to that town. But specifically, they will not give it a name like we have Lugard Road or in Ghana here, we have names like, Gorgisberg Road and the rest. I mean, after colonial authorities or colonial officials, we didn't have them like that. But so far as mountains and rivers were concerned, he's right. We have our local names for them. But then, when the colonial authorities came, the Europeans came, they decided to change those names to reflect on their culture or to reflect on the names of the colonial officials. That one, I agree with him. Well, in your intro, you mentioned the positions, the two schools of thought. One school of thought is of the view that there is no need for us to change the names, but let them remain because it's part of our history. And the others who think that we need to change it and to reflect our own aspirations and then also our culture. I am of the view that there's no need to change the names of the colonial rules for the simple reason that it is part of our history, just like you alluded to. It is part of our history. And if you do that, then it means that aspect of our history will be eradicated, whether for good or for bad. We know that what is, when you talk about history, what is history? History is any event, or whether good or bad, that has significance for the society or a nation. So whether the people committed atrocities against Africans or not, whether they treated us well or not, it's still part of our history. And we need to leave it for generations yet or more to come and know of it. If you now rename these streets after African heroes, people that Ugandans think had played important roles in the building of the country, like Yoweri Museveni, the president, like Idi Amin, like Milton Obote, and other people, nationals of the country.
Let me just quickly also ask Frank here. Obviously, I know he studied history in school. Frank, do you think there's value in preserving some colonial names as part of historical memory, or do you think the focus should be solely on erasure of colonial symbols?
Well, there's no, personally, I think there's no value in preserving these names. Our history as Africans, our history as Uganda in particular, does not begin or start with the colonialists or Europeans who came to Africa or Uganda. We had a history, rich history, way back that we can focus on, that we can relate to, other than having these ones. We are concentrating so much on Europeans. We have so much about us that is thrown to the trash. Well, fact is, back in the day, we did not have records. It was by word of mouth. That's how we kept our history. But still, we still have it and know that such and such a thing happened, such and such a person existed. We could as well have those people named, those African Ugandan people named after these roads. And also, the history of these colonialists should stay in school. We already have them. We study about them. So I believe in school, because we are still under the British curriculum, much of it. So we study about them. We can never forget them. We always remember them. But we have a lot. In Uganda here, every 9th June, we celebrate National Heroes Day. But I can assure you that none of the heroes we celebrate is named, has a name on the roads or the streets. We have great presidents, leaders, but none. Why do we have Speke? Why do we have Queen Elizabeth? Why do we have, well, there's a way we can remember them other than having them on streets.
Absolutely. Why do we have a good journalist, Frank Higa, and he doesn't have a street, right?
Exactly.
But Frank, still with you. Do the youth really care, especially in this digital world? Do you think they know or are concerned the source of these words?
Well, the youth, having gone through school in education, well, they know the sources. They know who these people are. They definitely do that. But I believe they care less, because they believe there's too much on their plate to handle than just renaming roads and stuff like that. So they care less, but caring less does not mean that they should not be catered for or planned for things that will have value or contribution to them in one way or the other, that such and such a road was named after a mayor who did this, that extraordinary to Uganda.
Yeah. Now, Professor, do you think the youth care? Really? Do you think they're concerned about the source of the roads?
I think it is important for the youth to know about their history. There's no two ways about that. But it is true, as he rightly pointed out, that Africa existed before the white man came. And I think that now, whatever has happened in the past has relevance, and what will happen in the future also has relevance. Naming the street after, or allowing the colonial relics to remain, or colonial names to remain, to me is nothing wrong. Now, the cities and towns are developing. We have a situation where a village even develops to become a town. A town also develops to become a municipality and then a metropolitan area. So new streets come up. The heroes of Uganda that he's talking about can also be rewarded by naming these new streets after them. If you come to Ghana, the streets are not named after only colonial authorities. New leaders who have been coming to power since independence. We have Kwame Nkrumah interchange, or it used to be Nkrumah interchange. Runabout now is Nkrumah interchange. We have J.B. Dankwa. We have Obechebi Lamte.
Yes. Professor, just to catch me a little bit on that, because obviously of time, you know, you are probably lucky and you have different leaders and people like Frank and I'm from Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe got independence since 1980, and the only hero that we would talk about, the only leader we've had until a few years ago was Robert Mugabe, right? And perhaps some war veterans. But I've seen Zimbabwe use other countries' heroes. We're talking of Nelson Mandela, Kwame Nkrumah, as in other African countries apart from Tanzania, Julius Nyerere. So do they have to be colonial heroes, or they can also be heroes of other particular countries? Like, honestly, what names could we replace with colonial names? I know you say we should preserve. Frank said we should change. But what names do you think we can replace the colonial names?
Uganda is a sovereign nation. So Ugandans know what to do best, or know what is best for them. If they think that they don't need the colonial names and they want to decolonize their country and name the streets and other important monuments, and then also rivers and lakes and mountains after their own heroes, they are at liberty to do that. But if they are to do that, then they should also be fair. It should cut across all the ethnic groups. It shouldn't be in a situation where you name these monuments after only people from one particular ethnic group or one particular political party. But anybody who had played a significant role, a meaningful role in the development of the country from the time of nationalism or even in the run-up to colonization. There were some people who stood up against the colonial authorities. Such people should all be considered. And then also the nationalist leaders should be considered and post-independent leaders.
Yes, that probably could be a very good parting words, Professor, because we are running out of time. And Frank Eager, how should countries balance remembering colonial history? I know you say we should let go of these colonial names without at least glorifying its oppressive figures.
Like I said earlier, school is most important, is equally important, even than streets. Studying about them, understanding them, who they were, what they did, that is, I think, the best way to remember them, because they can never, their names and what they did can never vanish from our minds.
Professor Kwame Osei-Kwarteng, a professor of history at the University of Cape Coast, Ghana, as well as our DW correspondent in Kampala, Frank Eager, thank you so much for this insightful discussion. At the Africa Link podcast, we always look across the continent to see how the stories and issues we are dealing with play out or at times even overlap. Germany committed atrocities, starved entire populations, and oppressed resistance in Tanzania between 1885 to 1918. But how much of that is still felt today? We talked to a descendant of Maji resistance fighter Songea Mano, who is fighting for the return of his ancestors' remains. Artists and historians want the return of stolen cultural objects, and young Tanzanians about how they feel. DW's Edith Kimani brings us more.
Hello and welcome back to the 77% Street Debate. This week we are in Tanzania. And this country, if you know a little bit about your history, was colonized first by the Germans before the British took over after World War I. But so many years later, the scourge of colonization is still felt in contemporary Tanzania. And today we want to find out how that head rears its head and who better to answer this question for me than Tanzanians. We have Jovita here, who's an assistant professor of history. Do you think that Tanzania, and indeed the rest of Africa, is truly independent?
Tanzania and the rest of Africa is not really independent, because even though colonialism ended, but now we have neo-colonialism, where everything we do is somehow is determined by the West.
So before we move into neo-colonialism, which for sure we'll be touching on, I want to come to John Bano, who is an ancestor of one of the freedom fighters, I would say, of this country. Your great-grandfather was unfortunately murdered in a horrendous way. He was hung and parts of his remains were taken with the former colonial masters. So tell me a little bit about why searching for his remains is so important.
We Africans, we end mourning or crying when we bury each and every part of the body of the person.
And this search has taken you as far as Berlin, where you've been able to speak to the state minister, and most recently when President Frank-Walter Steinmeier came, you spoke with him. Do you think you'll be successful?
His visit to us was just a starting of our healing, and we talked with him friendly in a very private way, and he promised us that he's going to join us hence in bringing back the remains.
Okay. Speaking of stolen things and artifacts, Nicholas here is working on a project to do just that, return some of the stolen works that were from Tanzania. Again, the trauma and being separated from things of value, do you feel that in contemporary Tanzanian society?
One of the most important things that the German colonialism did to the country is taking out a lot of material from the country to Germany, to museums in Germany. And the taking out of this material, which is more of a symbol of what the colonial system did at large, which is do economic, social, and political plunder of local systems.
So we're speaking here from a conceptual point of view about artifacts, but again, coming back to you, your family, this is real, right? So has it affected you from an emotional point of view? As in, when you think about your children and your father, how does it make you feel, and your great-grandfather?
Our family is suffering now. When the head was chopped and the artifacts were taken, we were left empty-handed. No one was there to narrate any story of what was special for those artifacts which were taken.
Sisi, you're doing a film actually that's following Mbano's story and another one as well. And you, as you were doing it, anything that jumped out at you which you weren't aware of about colonial history?
I think speaking to the question of loss, it's also the loss of the importance of the spaces that we still occupy as a nation. So in most of these cases, you have to understand that communities had to watch when their freedom fighters, their fathers, their uncles were being hanged in public spaces. Some of the spaces that they chose, for example, were like market spaces, where obviously this is where the community came to gather, right? Things happened there. Yeah. There were life events that attached them to those spaces. And so then by making these points where the people had to be there to actually watch something traumatic happen, you, it's like you've detonated something within that space and the community will never be able to exist around it in the same way ever again.
Well, I thank you for your comments and I thank you all for your contributions and I thank you for viewing.
That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a part of our community. Your feedback and participation makes this podcast what it is. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Click follow so you can catch all of the Africa Link episodes. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. My name is Josie Mahachi. Thanks for listening, and it's bye for now.
DW, made for minds.